Thank you. Again, we come to our studies on the prophet Elijah as found in 1 Kings chapter 17, 18, and 19. In our last lesson, we were discussing of how this man Elijah came into the presence of the king Ahab, king of Israel, and made the pronouncement, Jehovah, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years according to my word. For those of you who did not get that lesson, may I suggest that the nation of Israel was in a place of apostasy, idolatry, declension. The king on the throne was an idolater. He brought the worship of Baal into the land of Israel. His queen was the wicked queen Jezebel. The prophets of God had been scattered because Ahab had declared and vowed he would kill every prophet of Jehovah. Now the question is, will God permit such a condition to continue? And Elijah was the answer. He became God's instrument to pronounce judgment upon the nation. And his name, Elijah, means Jehovah is my God, or Jehovah is my strength. He is a man who had been possibly raised and guided and directed by parents who loved the Lord. And they had called their boy when he was born Elijah. Jehovah is his God. Jehovah is his strength. And I wish we had more homes like that today. We say, well, we're in a kind of a bind. Our youngsters go to school and they hear all kinds of things. They hear it on the street. And we see and hear things that are corrupt. Cursing and bitterness, indifference to God, opposition to God, the repudiation of his word. And I want my boy to get on in the world, yes, but don't you compromise your boy's life when God may want him to be a testimony for God in the midst of a nation, in the midst of a world that's going more and more into a philosophical rebellion against God, with its humanistic philosophies, with its hedonism, and with its indifference to the Word of God and to the presence of God. And I say, God give us men in these days like Elijah. Now, he was a man who came from the east side of Jordan. He was possibly a goat herd, and he was a sojourner. That is, he lived on the other side of the River Jordan. He lived apart from the king's court and from the corruption of the day. And the source of his strength was that he lived in the presence of God. And this gave him peace of heart and courage. And when a fellow has stood in the presence of God, who then was Ahab? Who was any group once you've come out of the presence of God? And believe me, my friend, it took courage for a man whose name was Elijah to come from the east side of Jordan, a farmer or a goat herder, and to come right into the presence of a king who was a murderer of the prophets of God, who declared that he would kill anyone who talked about Jehovah. But you know, I think of that verse in Zechariah 4:6. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And his message is very simple. The heavens are going to be closed at my word. And of course, God's word, as I said, had become his word, as you find in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 16 to 17, where God had made the promise that if Israel ever went into idolatry, he would shut the heavens. And how is Ahab going to know that it is God who has shut the heavens unless someone tells him? So Elijah went down and told him, the heavens are going to be closed at my word. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to have a man like this on the scene and to make God's word his word, just as you have Paul in Romans chapter 2, verse 16. A man who was fervent in his walk before God and fervent in prayer. You read James chapter 5, Elijah was a man of like passions as you and I are, but he prayed and the heavens were closed. And he prayed again, and the heavens were opened. I'm quoting from James chapter 5, 16 and 17. Fervent in his prayer. The same thing with this man Moses in Exodus chapter 32 and 33. And I tell you, we need men of prayer today. And I mean that. We need men of prayer always in a day of declension. Now let's come down to the test of this man Elijah in verses 2 to 7 of 1 Kings 17. I've brought you up to date on where we are. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And I take it, this little brook Cherith was a little stream that ran into the river Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens, these birds, brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Now, I want you to mark the test of this man Abram. What shall I do now? I have shut the heavens. Now what? And God told him what to do. God directs his path from the palace to a desert, from kings to ravens. You know, there cannot be a Mount Carmel without a desert. It's like our Lord went into the desert at the beginning of his ministry. The Apostle Paul went into Arabia, to the desert, the beginning of his ministry. We must get alone with God. After every victory for God, there must be a test. This is true, my friend. There's no place for egotism here. He could have said, you know, I told that King Ahab just where to head in. I have shut the heavens. You mean to tell me I've got to go down by a brook and be fed by ravens, to trust ravens carrion to bring me bread and flesh to eat? Should I stay by this brook doing nothing? Just doing nothing? And every day he saw the brook getting lower and lower and lower. But he went. And he had nothing to do but just wait. Believe me, my friend, this is a hard test. Shut off from human supply. Can God meet his need? Of course. God always is sufficient to meet our need. And he was where God wanted him. You know, this is no place for egotism. If you were to shut the heavens by a word and a famine came, would you go and hide yourself? Would you go and run away and be fed by carrion? I say, my friend, there's no room for egotism here. There is no room for egotism in the work of the Lord. You know, I have to sit down and admire this man Elijah in his devotion to God. The heavens are going to be closed at my word. Now you run away and go down the other side of Jordan to the brook Cherith. I have commanded the ravens to feed you. And he sat there day after day, week after week. And eventually the brook dried up. Now what? I wish in some way I could make it so clear to you, this thing. One of the great dangers, you know, in the gospel ministry, whether you are teaching a Sunday school class or a young people's worker or a preacher or a teacher or a missionary, how easy it is to get occupied with your victories for God, or to be occupied with the results of your ministry. Did he get out of touch with God? In fact, so easy to become egotistical. And one doesn't have to go very far to see that. But not Elijah. Here's a man who has done something, as far as I know, nobody else ever did. He commanded the heavens to withhold its rain, and there was a famine. He took God at his word, and the heavens were closed. Shall such a man go and hide himself? God says, go and hide yourself. And that every day the ravens will come and feed you. Doing nothing. Just sitting there in simple obedience and submission to the will of God, but apparently doing nothing. I say after every test, after every victory, there comes the test. It's so easy, and I speak from experience, it's so easy to become self-occupied. The hardest thing for a child of God to do is to wait. But Lord, I want you to hurry up. May I say the Lord is always on time. You go down and hide yourself, and the carrion will take care of you. And he obeyed and went. And now another thing happened. By the way, can I inject this first of all? I'm sure while he's sitting down by the brook, being fed by ravens, I'm sure he was still in touch with Jehovah. And as the brook dried up, as the famine came on, the heavens withheld its rain and its dew, the brook dried up. Now what's he going to do? The brook dried up. Is he out of God's will? No, no. Did God cease to care? Oh, no, oh, no. As Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And John 13:1, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He's always with his people. Was he out of the will of God because he was doing nothing? No. It's a funny thing about us people. We think that if we're in the will of God, we're going to be so active. Not necessarily so. The important thing is not activity. The important thing is to be obedient to the word of God. The important thing is to walk with God. And I'm living in a day where we judge. Our lives by our activity. If we're active for God, then we're in God's favor. If we're not active, something's the matter. Not a bit of it. There are times, my Christian friend, when you should just be alone with God. But I'll be criticized. Well, what of it? People won't understand me. What of it? The important thing is to be obedient, be submissive. And sometimes I think we miss a great deal and we run ahead of God and defeat the very thing we want because we will not take the time to come in the presence of God. Wait his time. I repeat it. God's always on time. Take with his son. Our Lord was born at the right time. He died at the right time. He will come back to the earth to reign at the right time. He'll not be an hour late or an hour too early. God is always on time. If you examine his creation, the very creation runs on the split second. It's always on time. What do we do as Christians? We either lag behind or we run ahead of God. We want God to hurry up or we are way, way behind. Why not walk step by step with Jesus? We sing it. We talk about it. Do we do it? So you have it here. What shall I do now? Dick Paul. In Acts chapter 16, Paul's in prison. He's been beaten up. Was he in the will of God? In jail? In the stocks? Shouldn't he be out preaching? Listen, friend. Oftentimes more is done when we're not seen and not heard. You take the Apostle Paul, for example. The Lord allowed him to go into prison. He's down in Caesarea, prisoner. Went to Rome, a prisoner. Couldn't go out and preach. What did he do? He did more than if he'd been out preaching. Why? he sat down and wrote the precious epistles which had been read down to the centuries and have fed God's people by the millions through the centuries. God knows what he's doing. He knows his own business best. All he wants of you, all he wants of me, is to walk in fellowship with him. Go down by the brook Cherith and hide yourself. And do what? Do nothing. I've commanded the ravens to feed you. And by the way, don't take this idea, as some critics have said, that the ravens were a tribal people who were called the ravens, who came to him every day and brought him his meals. Ravens are ravens, carrion. Brought him what? Bread and flesh. There he sat until the brook dried up, but he sat in obedience. And I'm sure the months he spent down there at the brook were months of living, enjoying the presence of God. Would you be satisfied to come out of the public eye and just be satisfied to sit in the presence of the Lord and walk before God? Please don't judge people by their activity or by their service. Service is only the outflow of a life lived in the presence of God. My friend, I'm talking to you. You say, well, I'm only a housewife. What can I do? You can walk with God while you do your dishes, while you clean your floors, while you take care of the kids and take care of the family. You can walk with God. You say, well, I'm a fanatic. No, you won't be a fanatic. God's given you a head to use and given you a heart to appreciate. But you can go on quietly. In fact, this man Elijah, didn't have anybody to talk to but birds. But he walked with God. He talked with God. I say sometimes the hardest thing, especially for Christian workers, is to be quiet. Instead of running all over the place, just to be quiet and wait. And I'll tell you again, my friend, it's awfully hard to wait. We want God to move right now, right now. And sometimes some Christians look upon God as if he was their servant. No, my friend, let us come with reverence. Let us come with love into the presence of God with a submissive heart. And yet, with a heart that appreciative of God's own personal fellowship. And then you take the word of God and make it your own. Then you're going to be found usable in the hands of the Spirit of God to reach our generation. And when the time comes, God's going to have his man ready. When you come to chapter 18, God's got his man. What man? Elijah. He's going to fight all the priests of Baal. But he couldn't do that if he didn't obey God. Go and hide yourself. Shall I, a man who has just shut the heavens, hide myself? Yes, go and hide yourself. I say there's no place for egotism. And God made the provision. God never ceases to care for his people. He always understands. And he always knows when to make a change. Can't we trust our lives? Oh, dear Christian friend, can't we trust our lives to the Lord? God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't left you. And at the right time, in his own way, if you put your trust in him, he will do what he wants to do. And if you try to put yourself into the picture, out of the will of God, you'll defeat the very thing that you want done. And may I plead with your heart as I plead with my own heart. For believe me, I'm talking to Mitchell when I talk about these things. You're only getting the rebound of what I see in the Word of God. And I know, as I examine my own heart, how easy it is to run away from the presence of God. How easy it is to want your own way. How easy it is to become self-occupied and introspective. This is a dangerous, dangerous thing. Now, may you and I know something about being in the fellowship and the presence of God today. And if he says, be quiet, then let's be quiet. If he says, go and hide yourself, then go and hide yourself. But let's walk with God. irrespective of circumstances. And may the Lord make these simple truths very precious, very real. I want you to know, Christian friend, I don't care what your condition is, even though you're out of fellowship with God, He's never left you for a moment. He's waiting for you to come into His presence, confess your condition. He's promised to forgive you and to cleanse you and love you. This is what how He wants to love you and how He yearns for your fellowship and my fellowship. May we enjoy it today for His name's sake.